And morning, today's daf in Erev in Lamed Ches. We are in Lamed Zayin Amud Beis. We are towards the bottom of the Amud. We're going to start this morning with Rabbi Shimon. In clarification of Shitas Rabbi Shimon. Topic in daf Lamed Zayin is the topic of Reira. Exciting topic that comes up a number of times throughout Shas. This is one of the main locations of the discussion of Reira. And that is this idea that a decision has to be made by a certain time. And then you end up making the decision at a later point in time. Can you move your decision back to the critical point? And so retroactive determination has been discussed in context of Erevin, and so this is one of the primary points of discussion. It comes up by Erevin because there's a critical point for Erevin. Erevin, the critical point of acquisition is Bein Hashmashos. Let's say you don't make the decision during the Bein Hashmashos, but you make it later. You make it on Shabbos itself. We went through a number of examples. Mishnah describes how a person sets up an Eruv, actually even two Eruvin, one in each direction, because he perhaps wants an extension to be able to walk in either direction. Obviously, only one Makom Shvi'is is going to be set up. Under those circumstances, what is going to happen? So the decision needs to be made by Hashmashos, but meanwhile, you don't get the information until much later on, until Shabbos itself. So does the Erev now work retroactively? Can we go back to Bein Hashmashos and say, look, this is what I want now, this is what I wanted back then? So that's the topic of Breira. So the answer is, machlokas amongst the Tanaim, whether or not Breira works or Breira does not work. Now, involved in this discussion amongst the Tanaim, we had no less than four Tanaim involved in this discussion. If you go back to the Braisa that we did on the bottom of Lamed Vav Amud Beis, at the top of Lamed Zayin Amud Aleph, so another scenario, Breira, where I have Tevel, and I need to be Mafish Shumas Amaisos, and so right now I just don't have the means, for whatever reason, I don't have the means to be Mafish Shumas Amaisos, so can I drink 80% of it now, and the remaining approximately 20%, I'll just simply say, that's my Shumas Amaisos. And even though, obviously, the Shumas Amaisos needs to be taken off first, but the leftover that I leave at the end, can I not make the argument, can I not say that Huver Adavalam Afreyer, that retroactively, that's the Trumas Amaisos that I wanted from the very beginning, from the very onset. So, Machlokas amongst Tanaim. Involved in this Machlokas is Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Shimon. Now, just as a quick recap of these Tanaim that were involved in this discussion, first Rabbi Meir. So Rabbi Meir says that it works when it comes to Trumas Amaisos, that you can do Breira. So that is Shitas Rav Meir. Rav Meir seems to be pretty clear that he is a proponent of Breira, and we're talking about Shumas Amaisos, which is a Din D'Oraisa, so he would say Breira even by Din D'Oraisa. Then there's Shitas Rav Yossi. So there, in yesterday's daf, we covered his Shita. We noted what was a couple of inconsistencies in the Shita. We actually edited Bryce's yesterday so that Rav Yossi would have a consistent viewpoint. And Lamaskana, as a conclusion, Rav Yossi says, Ein Breira, he is not a proponent of Breira, and seemingly even on a Din D'Rabbanan. Then the Gemara yesterday explored the Shita of Rabbi Shimon. So that's basically where we are right now. So we're going to go and get involved in the Shita of Rabbi Shimon. So that's it. In other words, and Rabbi Yehuda, sorry. And Shita's Rabbi Yehuda. That takes us back to the bottom of Lamed Vav Amud Aleph. I should have started with Shita's Rabbi Yehuda. Shita's Rabbi Yehuda is the most unclear. Meaning, question of what Rabbi Yehuda holds. Does Rabbi Yehuda hold Yesh Breira Ein Breira? So actually, Machlokas Amoraim, in terms of what Rabbi Yehuda holds, even though the Braisa seems to suggest very clearly that Rabbi Yehuda is on the side of Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Shimon, that he's not a proponent of Breira. Nevertheless, the Amoraim debate this. In fact, Ula took the position yesterday that what we'll do with Rabbi Yehuda is that we'll put the comma after, not Rabbi Meir, but Rabbi Yehuda. So in other words, in that Braisa that talks about leaving last 20% over of the wine, so it's not Divrei Rabbi Meir, but rather, according to Ula, it's Divrei Rabbi Meir vi Rabbi Yehuda, comma, and then Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Shimon Ostrom. That was Ula's position. Anyway. We're up to Rabbi Shimon, and this is it. We're finishing up over here on this topic of Breira with the Shita of Rabbi Shimon, and let's begin. Shita's Rabbi Shimon starts with a Braisa. We did the Braisa yesterday, but we're going to revisit the Braisa again. We're going to start with the line of Rav Yosef. It's right in the middle of Lamed Zayin Amud Beis. So Rav Yosef Amar Tanai Shekalta Mi'ama. Now, it was a discussion yesterday that we're right in the middle of, in terms of whether or not someone will reject Breira not only on a Deraisa level, but on a Derabbanan level as well. And Rav Yosef says, look, it's subject to opinions amongst Tanaim. So tonight here's the Rav Yosef says, Machlokas Tanaim, the time we learn to the following Breisa. Harini Ma'aru L'Shabasa Shokola Shana. Ratzisi Eilech Lo Ratzisi Lo Eilech. Ratzmi Bo Yom Eruv Eruv Mishachashecha. Now, a person sets up his Eruv and says, basically, when I need it. Okay, and box of matzah is a great example. It's going to last for a long time. Sets it up in a location. And is that going to be Zerv Tchum? So he says, as needed. Meaning, as I go into every Shabbos, I'll make a determination, a declaration, in terms of whether I need it or not. And so, every Friday afternoon, so he'll declare, either I want that to be my new Makom Shlisa, or I don't want to make it my new Makom Shlisa. What if he makes a decision on Shabbos itself? So, here we have a Machlokas. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Eruv HaEruv. So Rabbi Shimon says the Eruv is going to be a good Eruv. Even though he did not say it before Ben Hashmashos, he said it well into Shabbos. It still works. V'chachamim omrim, ein Eruv HaEruv. And the Chachamim says it does not work. Now, v'hashamim l'Rabbi Shimon d'leisle breira, kashya d'Rabbi Shimon ad'Rabbi Shimon. So the Gemara says, now, where do we stand on this issue? So we now have Rabbi Shimon clearly in this brisa we just learned together, being a proponent of breira, on a din d'Rabbanan. And meanwhile, you go back and you turn back the page to the Amud Aleph, and Rabbi Shimon was squarely in the camp where he does not subscribe to Breira. In the case of the wine, Rabbi Shimon's of the position, I can't leave over 20% of that wine and just simply after the fact say, hey, that's my truma and that's my meiser. So it's kasha to Rabbi Shimon and to Rabbi Shimon. So Ela Epoch. So the Gemara says, well, what we're going to have to do is we're going to have to flip it around. And we're going to have to take this brisa that we just learned, and we're going to have to say that Rabbi Shimon does not say a decision that's made after Ben Hashmashos is going to be effective. So my kasha, the Gemara says, I don't understand. Dilmaki leisa l'Rabbi Shimon breira b'daraisa v'abadurabanan islay. So the Gemara says, but wait one second. The case of the wine, that's a din daraisa, that's trumas amaisos min haTorah. So there we can have him on the position of being machmir. In the case of the case that we just learned regarding Eruv Tchumim is the din derabanan. Let him be makel by din derabanan. So the Gemara says, why can't we say that? And parenthetically, by the way, I'll also add that lehalacha we do say that, meaning the halacha subscribes to breira by din derabanan, but not by din deraisa. Okay, so it is certainly a reasonable suggestion. The Gemara says no. Katsavri Rav Yosef mandi islay breira lo shnam b'daraisa lo shnam b'darabanan islay umanda leislay breira lo shnam b'daraisa lo shnam b'darabanan leislay. So yes, so the Gemara says exactly. So Rav Yosef himself happens to be of the position breira. You can either you accept it as a concept or you do not accept it as a concept, and there cannot be this balanced position according to Rav Yosef within breira that by daraisas will be machmir, by darabanans will be makom. Okay. So for Rav Yosef, the only way to lay out the sheet of Rabbi Shimon is that Rabbi Shimon rejects Breira. And as far as the Breisa we just learned regarding Eruv Tchumim, where seemingly accepts it, so Rav Yosef takes a position, which is you're going to have to flip the Breisa around, so that Rabbi Shimon consistently now maintains that we rejects Breira. That's one approach in Rabbi Shimon. So we are now in the position of Rabbi Shimon in terms of what does he subscribe to vis-a-vis Breira. And right now, our first approach to that of Rabbi Yosef is that Rabbi Shimon categorically rejects Breira. Approach number two. Rav Amar, Rav is of the position Shani Hasam, Dibi'inan Reishi Shishayera Nikarin. So Rav says, look, here's what we could say. That really, under normal circumstances, Rabbi Shimon subscribes to Breira, as we just saw in our Breisa by Eruv Tchumim. Now, as far as going back to the case of the Trumas HaMaisos are concerned, so there's another issue, there's another consideration, which is why Rabbi Shimon rejects the idea. Not because of Breira, but because of Reishi Shishira Nikarim. When you take off Trumas HaMaisos, it has to be that the Trumas HaMaisos are apportioned off, and you see the remainder. And that is the mitzvah of Trumas HaMaisos, in the way it is performed. If you take off the Trumas HaMaisos only after the fact, so you do not see the remainder has already been consumed. So therefore, it is a failure of being mafrit Trumas HaMaisos. Mafrit Trumas HaMaisos, by definition, demands that the remainder has to be seen, has to be recognizable. So Amalei Abaye Lamiata Hayi Lofana Shnei Rimonim Shel Tevel. Va'amar Im Yarduk Shamim Hayom Yeizeh Truma Al Zeh V'im Lo Yarduk Shamim Hayom Yeizeh Truma Al Zeh. So the Gemara says, okay, well, let's consider the following case. You have two pomegranates in front of you. And you say, look, one of them is going to be truma for the other one. But he connects it to a condition. It's a strange condition, admittedly. But he says, look, if it rains today, so then pomegranate A will be truma samaisos for pomegranate B. And if it doesn't rain today, so then the reverse. So hachinami ben yardu ben lo yardu ein bedvarv klum. So, and now, look, whether it rains or whether it doesn't rain, we are in a position where we do not know at this point in time, meaning he was mafresh, but we don't know what his hafrasha actually was, because his hafrasha is attached to a condition, and at this juncture, at this point, we don't know which way it's going to go. It's going to be dependent on the rain. And here, he was mafresh umas amaisos, but the shiarim are not nikarim. We don't definitively know which one is serving as the shiraim for which. So v'chite machanam, the Gemara says, okay, and maybe the conclusion is, yeah, look, it's a case that we just manufactured. So maybe the halacha is, that's absolutely correct. The Gemara says, yeah, but I have a Mishnah. V'atzanan, the Mishnah in Trumos. Trumos hakri hazem. Umas rosav bisocho. Uchumas meiser zeh bisocho. You have a big pile of grain. And you say that the Trumos and meisros are in the pile. Or you have a big pile of Maisa Rishon. Rashi describes this as the second case. You have a big pile of Maisa Rishon. And you say that the Trumas Maiser is in the pile. Rabbi Shimon Amar, Kara Hashem. So Rabbi Shimon says it works. So over here, where's the Trumas Maiser? It's somewhere internally. And Rabbi Shimon says that's fine. So the Gemara says, Shani Asim Dika Svivav. So the Gemara says, that doesn't bother me. Because over there, even though the Trumas Maiser are somewhere interior to the pile, as far as the Shiraim are concerned, it's there. In fact, you could see it. Now, do you know exactly where the Shiraim are? You pretty much know that it's anywhere in the exterior section of the pile. So the Gemara says this is not a failure of Shireha Nikarin. Okay, so the Gemara says, V'ibayzema Kidikani Taima. Or the Gemara says, or what we could do is we can give a totally different approach. Meaning, again, we are bothered by what seems to be a stereo between Shitas Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon, in the case of the kusi and the wine, so Rabbi Shimon rejects Breira. In the case of the Eretz Chum that we just learned, Rabbi Shimon accepts Breira. And so we have now had two approaches so far. Approach number one of Rav Yosef is that we're going to flip around that Breisa by Eruvei Tchumim, making Rabbi Shimon reject Breira out of hand. Then we had the Shita of Rava. Rava says, no, Rabbi Shimon accepts Breira. The case of the wine is different because you need Shiareh Nikarin. The Gemara now is going to give us a third approach, which is that really Rabbi Shimon accepts Breira, like we saw by Erev Tchum, and as far as the wine is concerned, different consideration. In fact, Kediktani Taima, there is an addendum Breisa, which tells us what the reason is why Rabbi Shimon and also Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi reject the case of the wine. So Amru Lod L'Reb Meir, they say to Reb Meir, Yatamod Hashem Yivaka Hanod, V'nim Tzeh Shosu Tvalim Mamafreya. Look, here's the problem. The problem is that you drank the wine with the assumption that you're going to leave 20% over at the end. The 20% over that you leave over at the end is going to then be Trumas HaMaisos. Hover HaDavah LaMafreya, that it goes back retroactively to the beginning. And then, let me ask you a question, they say to Reb Meir. Can't the jug break? And if, in fact, the jug breaks and you lose that last 20%, what comes out now is that you drank Tevel. And aren't you worried about that? So what you see over here is it's not that they are rejecting the idea of Breira. It's that they're just simply concerned that maybe the jug is going to break. So Amar Lahem L'chishi Yavak, and Rameir's response is very simple. I'm not concerned. I don't think it's going to break. And when we get to that bridge, we'll cross it. But I'm not worried that that's going to happen. Okay. That is and that's a third approach in terms of how to understand the Breisa. And it's not revolving around the issue of Breira, and therefore Rabbi Shimon can be left here accepting the concept of Breira, and the case of the wine is just a concern of Shem Yivaka Hanod. Just as we're almost finished with the sugya, but just one final point. With this addendum, with this Breisa, it's really interesting because the Gemara has spent a daf, right? All of Lamed Zayin talking about the shitas of Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Meir, and Rabbi Yehuda. And each one of them opine in the case of the wine, and the Gemara discusses it for a full daf. assuming that the issue is Breira, do we accept Breira, do we not accept Breira? And meanwhile, at the tail end of the entire sugya, the Gemara brought in a Braisa that says that the issue is not Breira, but the issue is a concern of whether the jug is going to break or not going to break. And it's just so interesting that presumably the Gemara knew this addendum, and why is the Gemara having an entire discussion, an entire daf revolving around Breira in that Braisa, when meanwhile, we clearly see over here, it's a dialogue between the two of them, between the four of them. And clearly their issue is not Breira. The issue is whether or not we should be concerned that it's going to break or not going to break. And it kind of renders the entire discussion, let me say clearer. It doesn't render the discussion moot, but certainly the Braisa regarding the wine, like how did that become part of this entire discussion when meanwhile the issue is a totally different issue. Okay, just my own curiosity, but anyway. So my kamerle. So the Gemara says, okay, let's go back one step in the Gemara where, according to the way Rava presents it, Rabbi Shimon really accepts Breira, and the only issue is Shiren Ikarin. So the Gemara says, okay, now if that's true, let's go back to that dialogue that we just learned between Rav Meir and the other three Tanayim. So, Hachi Kamerle, how did you understand the dialogue? Because according to Rabbi Shimon, the real issue is that I need the shirayim to be recognizable. That's Rabbi Shimon's viewpoint. And the dialogue is about the jug's going to break, the jug's not going to break. According to Rabbi Shimon, that is not the critical issue. So the Gemara says, what we're going to do is we're just going to simply read it into the dialogue. So my kamerle, hachi kamerle, ledidam bein reishi shirayim nikarin. So look, for us, you need shirayim nikarin. So in other words, the conversation doesn't get off the ground. And as we turn to the top of Lamed Ches, but he atamod Hashem yivaka anod, v'nimtza shos etzvalim l'mafreya. So Rabbi Shimon's saying to Rabbi Meir, look, I'm not even involved in this discussion. As far as I'm concerned, you can't do it. You can't drink 80% of the wine, leaving the remaining 20% over at the end, because it's a failure in Shirei Nikarin. So as far as I'm concerned, I'm out of the discussion. But you, who don't agree with me on that issue, but at least give me the fact that you should be concerned that the jug is going to break, and Amar Lahen, and Reb Meir says to him, L'cheshi Yivaka. When it breaks, then I'll worry about it. Okay, so fine. So we're just going to simply read it into the dialogue. Okay, Adkan, that takes us to the end of Breira. As far as the Gemara is concerned, we just covered one of the primary sources in the Gemara that discusses the issue of Breira. We are now on Lamed Ches Amud Aleph. We are starting with the Mishnah, and here we get to another major topic. Right? Daf Lamed Zayin Lamed Ches and Erevin, just fantastic. Lamed Zayin Breira, Lamed Ches, Kedusha Achash, Te Kedushas. Just two enormous sugyas. And when we do it in the daf, we scratch the surface. But still, as far as topics go, exciting topics. Here in this next in this upcoming Mishnah, so we're going to be dealing with the following issue, and that is that when I have Shabbos and Yom Tov falling back to back, either Yom Tov is on a Friday or on a Sunday, and so it is contiguous with Shabbos, how do we view that 48-hour period? Do we view it as a one unit of Kedusha? Shabbos and Yom Tov are essentially the same. Obviously, there are notable differences between Shabbos and Yom Tov. Yom Tov Yaviterim, Mavochel Nefesh, but still, essentially it's the same. And we just look at it at one unit of 48-hour period. That's what's called Kedusha Achas. Or the alternative is that even though they are contiguous, and even though there's no break between the two, but nevertheless they're not viewed as one extended Kedusha, but rather Shtei Kedushas are viewed as two separate Kedushas. And then, of course, there's a third option, which is Suffolk, we don't know. Which actually is going to be a third option, which is going to be presented in our upcoming sugya. Okay, again, why does it come up over here in Erevin? Because you want to set up Erev Tchum. And if you have a scenario where Friday's a Yontif, so Tchum is as applicable on Yontif as it is on Shabbos, we've already established this numerous times. On Yontif, you're allowed to carry, but Tchum is not a function of carrying. Tchum is a function of where I can travel. And as much as Tchum is an issue on Shabbos, it's not an issue. It's an Isser on Shabbos. So too, it's also going to be an Isser on Yontif as well. So what I'd like to do now is going into my Yontif Shabbos, Friday being Yontif. So I want to know, how do I set up my Erev Tchum? If it's Kedusha Achas, I mean, I know we're going to see all this in the Mishnah, but I'm just saying it out right now so you can see it clearly. So if it's Kedusha Achas, so then you only make one Erev Tchum for the entire 48 hours. And if you hold it's Kedusha Achas, you don't have an opportunity to change your Tchum halfway through. Because there is no halfway through. It'd be tantamount to changing your Tchum in the middle of Shabbos. which the Gemara assumes is an absolutely non-option. So if you view it as Kedusha Achas, so you make one Erev Tchum at the onset of Yontif, and that will carry over for 48 hours. On the other hand, if it's Shtei Kedushos, so then you are going to be able to set up two Eruvei Tchumim, one for Yontif and one for Shabbos. Mechanically, how exactly do you do that? So we're going to be discussing that over the course of the daf. And there's going to be other challenges as well, notably Hachana. Okay, the Gemara is going to cover that. And if it's a Suffolk, so as you can imagine, if it's a Suffolk, then it gets complicated. All this is coming up in our Mishnah. We start with the Mishnah here in Lamech Chesam and Aleph, Rabbi Eliezer Omer. So we start off with Shitas Rabbi Eliezer, which is Yom Tov Asamach LeShabbos, where I have Yom Tov right next to Shabbos. Beim Lefana, Beim Lachareha. Vis-a-vis this halacha and this discussion, it doesn't matter whether Yom Tov is a Friday or whether Yom Tov is a Sunday. So Ma'ariv Adam Shnei Eruvin Va'amar. So a person sets up two Eruvin. Now, the way Rashi describes it over here, he sets them up. Let's discuss Friday being a Yom Tov. So he sets it up on Thursday afternoon. Both of them, he sets up on Thursday afternoon. Now, the reason why Rashi does that over here, it's the first Rashi in the Mishnah. The reason why Rashi does that here is because it saves us a little bit of trouble, because to set up the second one on Yom Tov itself gets into an issue of Hachana. So right now, at this beginning of the Sugya, we could just avoid that by setting both of them up before Yom Tov. And Va'amar. And here, now, he could stipulate and he could say the following. Eruve Berishon, or Eruve HaRishon Lemizrach, Uvisheni Lamarav. Berishon Lamarav, Uvisheni Lemizrach. Eruve Berishon, Uvisheni Kivnei Iri. Eruve Bisheni, Uvirishon Kivnei Iri. The Mishnah here goes through every single permutation. It doesn't matter how he wants to assign it. He wants to be able to walk to the east with Erev number one, to the west with Erev number two. He wants to do the opposite. He wants to establish one Erev for one day, and his home, his regular home, as the other Makom Shisa for the other day. It really doesn't matter. They are two distinct and separate days. V'chachamim omrim, o me'arev l'ruach achas, o enu me'arev kol ikar. O me'arev l'shnei yamim, o enu me'arev kol ikar. And the Chachamim say, no, it's one. It's one or nothing. Now, the way the Chachamim formulate is a little bit strange. The Gemara is going to ask right away. Either he seems to be somewhat repetitive. The Chachamim say, O me'arev l'ruach achas, o enu me'arev kol ikar. It's one direction or nothing. And then followed up with, O me'arev l'shnei yamim, or it's for the 2 days, which is the same thing. Meaning, you're going to treat those 2 days as one, o enu me'arev kol ikar. And so the Gemara is going to ask the question. It sounds a little bit superfluous on the part of the Chachamim, but anyway, get the point that according to the Chachamim, it's not Shtei Kedushas. And seemingly right now, according to the Chachamim, it's Kedusha Achas. So Ketzad Yaseh. So now, what do you do if you're the Chachamim? Now, at this point in time, here's what we would all expect. According to the Chachamim, if it's not Shtei Kedushas, it's Kedusha Achas. And that would mean to say that how many Erevim should you have to set up according to the Chachamim? The answer seemingly would be one. Now, it's going to confuse us because the Chachamim now are going to describe how you're going to set up your Erev Tchum both on Thursday afternoon and on Friday afternoon. And that's going to confuse us, and the Gemara is going to clarify. But anyway, Ketzad Yaseh, Malicha Barishon Amachshi Chalav, V'notlo. So what you'll do is you'll set up your first one, you'll be Machshich, meaning you'll spend the Banish Mashas period in that new Makom Shisa that you wanted. That's the Yontav Banish Mashas. Again, we're assuming right now Yontav is Friday. Venolo Valo. And then you could just bring your Erev Tchum back with you, because it's already been set up, meaning it's already been Kona. We've made this point earlier in the Masechta, but let's make it again. If you're the one who went yourself, then you don't even have to bring food with you, because how did you establish your Makom Shisa? By you being there. So over here, the assumption is, Rashi says this, is that you sent it with a shliach. Okay, fine. And so the food was there during the Banish Mashas of Yontav, and therefore that acquires it for you. Then what do you do? B'sheni machshir chalava ochlo uvalo. And then on the second day, meaning going into Shabbos, so what you'll do is you'll bring the food back over there. You will now settle the new Makom Shvisa, same Makom Shvisa again, and you'll spend Banish Mashas there with the food. And then, because now it's Shabbos, you can't walk back with the food. So what you'll do is you'll make Kiddush, and you'll eat over there. And Nimsa Mistaker Halichaso, or Mistaker Be'eruvo. And now, wonderful. So now, not only did you get your Erev Tchum for day number two, but you also got to eat your Erev as well. So Nechal Barishon Eruva L'Rishon Ve'en Eruva L'Sheni. So now, let's say at one point during this 48-hour period, so your Eruv was consumed. And what if you're the Chachamim? So you lost your Eruv for day number two. So hopefully everyone's thinking the same thing, and Rebbe Elazar says it. So Amar Lahem, Rebbe Eliezer, Modi Matan Li She'en Shnei Kedushas. So Rebbe Eliezer says to them, oh my goodness, so if you're telling me that you don't get the Eruv for the entire 48 hours, so then you're basically agreeing with me. It's Shtei Kedushos. And so then I am not following. How could you be arguing with me and agreeing with me at the same time? I'm of the position that you set up your Eruv for day number one, and you can set up a second Eruv in a different location for day number two. And you just agreed with me because you told me that if the Eruv is consumed before day number two, so then that's it. You've lost your Eruv for day number two. That's my position. Your position should be it's Kedusha Achas, it's one unit of 48 hours, and so therefore that Eruv should carry you over for the full 48 hours. Okay. And it seems to be a fantastic point, and it definitely needs clarification. So first of all, the Gemara starts off, L'ruach Achas, Ma'inir L'shnei Yamim. Now, the language of the Chachamim is, as we already pointed out in the Mishnah, strange, and the Gemara would like to clean it up or understand it better. So Ruach Achas means 2 days. And Shnei Yamim Ma'inir Ruach Achas, and 2 days means one direction. It's the same thing, Hainu Kamaisa. So Hachi Kamalei Rabban L'Rabbi Eliezer. So the Gemara now is going to give us a little bit more in-depth dialogue that occurred between the Chachamim and Rabbi Eliezer. So, I Atamoda. So here we're starting now with the challenge of the Chachamim to Rabbi Eliezer. I Atamoda She'ein Ma'arvim L'Yom Echad Chatzin L'Safam V'Chatzin L'Darom. So they say to Rabbi Eliezer, can you change your Erev Tchum mid-Shabbos, halfway through Shabbos? You decide, you know what, I want a new Erev Tchum. Can you do that? So Amar Lahem Aval. So he says to them, yes, you're right. Now, the word Aval literally means but in the context of this Braisa, as Rashi over here explains, it means, yeah, of course I agree with you on that point. Emes. And so therefore the Chachamim say back to Rabbi Eliezer, Kishem, She'im Arvim L'Yom Echad, Chasi L'Darm, V'Chasi L'Tzafan, Kachim Arvim L'Shnei Yomim, Yom Echad L'Mizrach, V'Yom Echad L'Ma'arav. So the Chachamim say to Rabbi Eliezer, we got you. Meaning just like you cannot change your position mid-Shabbos, you cannot change your Erev Tchum mid-Shabbos, you can also not change your Erev Tchum on a Yantav Shabbos. Because Yantav Shabbos is effectively the same thing. It's one elongated day. Okay. V'Rebbe Lazar, Asim Kedusha Achas, V'Hacha Beis Kedushos. Now we know what Rebbe Lazar is going to counter. But the Gemara says it really clearly. And that is, Rebbe Lazar will say, mid-Shabbos, you're in the middle of Kedusha Achas. So then you cannot change your Makom Shlisa. But Shabbos and Yantav are two distinct Kedushos. So therefore, you can change in the middle, because you are now approaching a totally new day of Kedusha. Amalam Rebbe Lazar, here we go, round number two. This is now Rebbe Lazar speaking to the Chachamim. Iyatamodim she'im erev beragla b'yom rishon, ma'arev beragla b'yom sheni, nechal iruva b'yom rishon, ein yosei ala b'yom sheni. So Rebbe Lazar says to the Chachamim, let me get this straight. Let me get your position straight. If you make an erev for day one with your feet, you got to redo the erev again for day number two. And you also agree that if you lose the Erev between day number one and day number two, you do not gain the Erev for day number two. Amrulo, they say back to Rabbi Eliezer, Aval. And they say to him, yeah, we agree with you on that point. So, ha, la'ai be kedushos hein. So Rabbi Eliezer says to the Chachamim, so la'ai, so that's it. So you agree with me, that's two kedushos. V'rabanan, and now we're going to get much better clarity on the Chachamim. Meaning, this is what bothered us in the Mishnah, and this is now the Gemara explaining Shitas Chachamim, which is Sefuke Misafkele V'Acha L'Chumra V'Acha L'Chumra. It's not that the Chachamim disagree with Rabbi Eliezer, where Rabbi Eliezer clearly is of the opinion of the Shtei Kedushos, with no doubt whatsoever, whereas opposed to the Chachamim, they're in a state of Suffolk, meaning they vacillate between the positions of Kedusha Achas versus Shtei Kedushos. And so what the Chachamim now, as we now understand the Chachamim, their position is that the reason why you have to redo your Erev for day number two is only because of the Suffolk. Meaning that they think that Yantav Shabbos is really Kedusha Achas. And so therefore it does not afford you the opportunity to make a new Erev Tchum in another direction going into the Shabbos. However, they are not saying definitively, unequivocally, that it is one Kedusha. They're saying it could be two Kedushas. They simply don't know. So on the concern that it may be two kedushos, so redo the same eruv. You can't make a new eruv because they hold it's kedusha achas, but they don't hold it definitively, and because they're also accounting for the position that shtei kedushos, so therefore redo it for the second day. Okay. So Amar lo Rabbi Elazar, and here we go now, round number three. In round number three of the dialogue, so here the Chachamim are challenging Rabbi Eliezer. You agree that you cannot make an Eruv from Yontif to Shabbos. So Amar lehem aval. So Rabbi Eliezer says, yeah, you're right. I maintain that. You can't make an Eruv from Yontif to Shabbos. Meaning when Yontif comes out on a Friday, you can't make an Eruv from Yontif to Shabbos. So halai kedusha achasei he. So the Chachamim said to Rabbi Eliezer, so okay, so you're with us now. So you're saying that it's kedusha achas. Rabbi Elazar hasa mishum hachana, and Rabbi Elazar says, no, over there, it's not because I agree with you. I maintain shtei kedushas. Over there, there is there's another concern, which is hachana. If I set up my erev on yontiv for Shabbos, so I'm being mechin, I'm preparing from yontiv to Shabbos, which is an isser. And as we will see on the Amud Beis of today's daf, possibly an isser daraisa. So the problem with setting up the Erev from Yontif to Shabbos, as far as Shtei Kedushos, Rabbi Elazar maintains the Shtei Kedushos. Shabbos now is a totally separate day. The problem with setting it up on Yontif for Shabbos, it's the violation of Hachana, which is why, by the way, now we can go back to Rashi in the Mishnah, and we can understand now Rashi much better than the Mishnah, where Rashi says that according to Rabbi Elazar, when are you setting up your two Erevim? You're setting it up on Erev Yontif. One for Yontif and one for Shabbos. And by doing so, you're not going to be violating the Isra of Hachana. Okay, that's why Rashi did that back in the Mishnah. We're in the very bottom of Lamed Ches Amud Aleph. We are involved now in a very fundamental debate amongst Tanaim that when you have Yontif and Shabbos contiguous one to another, so how do you view it as Shtei Kedushos or Kedusha Achas? Rabbi Eliezer is firmly in the camp that it's Shtei Kedushos. The Chachamim, on the other hand, say that it is Suffolk. They vacillate between whether it's Kedusha Achas or Shtei Kedushos. Okay? Which means the Chachamim's position, obviously, becomes a much more complicated position. Tanu Rabbanu, we are starting a brisa now in the bottom of the Amud, and here the brisa is going to be stating this machlokus very clearly, and here the brisa is going to have three opinions. Now, if you're thinking this out, how can there be three opinions? Well, it's very simple. I'll say out the three opinions, and then we'll see the brisa inside. One is that you hold the Shtei Kedushos, like Rabbi Eliezer. The other is that you can hold Kedusha Achas definitively. And the third position is like the Chachamim we just saw. It's a Suffolk. We don't know whether it's Kedusha Achas, Shtei Kedushos, and we exist now in the middle, and taking into account both positions. Okay, and Tanu Rabbanan, here we go. Erev Baragla B'yom Rishon, Ma'ariv Baragla B'yom Sheni. Nechol Eruvo B'yom Rishon, Ein Yotze Alav B'yom Sheni, Divrei Rebbe. So, Shitas Rebbe over here in the beginning of this Braisa, is that if you make an Erev for day one, again, it's Yontif Shabbos, if you make an Erev for day one, so then you have to repeat the Erev for day two. If the Erev is consumed on day one, you cannot use that Erev for day two. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Hare Ze Chamar Gamal. Rabbi Yehuda is of the position Chamar Gamal. Chamar Gamal basically means you're stuck, meaning that because the Erev was consumed halfway through, Rabbi Yehuda is of the position that we don't know if it's Kedusha Achas or Shtei Kedushos. Rabbi Yehuda, like the Chachamim that we just saw previously, is stuck between these two positions, and therefore, because Rabbi Yehuda is stuck in terms of whether to view it as Kedusha Achas Shtei Kedushos, so now you're stuck. Meaning that if it's Kedusha Achas, the Erev that you lay down for day number one continues into day number two, and that becomes your Makam Shvisa. On the other hand, if it's Shtei Kedushos, so the Erev you laid out for day number one is only going to work for day number one and not for day number two. And so that means that your original Makam Shvisa is going to be what is your point of center. And so now, where do you exist for the balance of the Shabbos? In between the Erev that you set up going into Yontif versus your original house, your original Makam Shvisa. You're stuck, like we described earlier. And then the Braisa continues as we are at the top of the Amud Beis, Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel, Rabbi Shmuel ben Noshe, Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka, Omrim, Erev Baragla B'Rishon, Ein Ma'ariv Baragla B'Sheni, Nechal Eruva B'Yom Rishon, Yotzei Alav B'Sheni. So the shitas of these two Tanaim is that the Erev that you set up for day one is going to work for day number two. Okay, and obviously they're of the position that it's Kedusha Achas, and it's Kedusha Achas definitively. happens to be that we have not seen this position previously, meaning up until now in our Mishnah here in Erevin on the Amud Aleph. So we only dealt with the positions of Rabbi Eliezer that Shtei Kedushos, or Shitas Chachamim that it's a Safek. Here in the Braisa, there are Tanaim who definitively maintain that the 2 days are Kedusha Achas. Okay, where do we stand right now? The Machlok is whether or not the 2 days of Yanta followed then by Shabbos is to be viewed as one continuum of Kedusha, 48 hours, or Shtei Kedushos. It is a 24-hour of Kedusha followed by 24-hour of Kedusha, obviously with no break in the middle, but it's two distinct days. Nafka Mina would be Erev Tchum, as we've been describing. Amar Rav, as we continue in the Gemara, where do we stand in terms of the halacha? So Rav says, halacha kedalad zekenim halalav aliba de Rabbi Eliezer. Darma beis kedushos hein. So Rav has a very clear psak, which is shtei kedushos, like shitas Rabbi Eliezer. So interesting that we're passing like Rabbi Eliezer. Typically speaking, Rabbi Eliezer is not a shita that is an accepted position. The Gemara elsewhere describes him as a shemuti, as a talmud of Shammai. Okay, so it's certainly an interesting psak, but probably the reason why over here we're passing like Rabbi Eliezer, Rav is passing like Rabbi Eliezer, is because he is corroborated by many other Tanaim. That's probably the correct shot. V'aliba de Rabbi Eliezer, damar beis kedushos, ve'elohin dalaz zekenim. So who is on board with Rabbi Eliezer that it's shei kedushos? They are Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, and Rabbi Shmuel ben Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka, and Rabbi Elazar ben Rabbi Shimon, and Rabbi Yossi ben Rabbi Yehuda, stimasa. So the four Tanaim are, so Rabbi Shimon, as we just went over, and Rabbi Shmuel, and Rabbi Elazar, the son of the Rashbi, and Rabbi Yossi ben Rabbi Yehuda. Why is he called stimasa? So stimasa is a term that describes an anonymous Mishnah that follows his position. Okay. The beginning of Masechta Megillah. So there's a long Rashi over there that goes over this idea of stima sa. Anyway, ve'ika damri, now in another version, chad minah Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Elazar umafik, Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda, stima sa. So in another braisa, it's Rabbi Elazar who's the fourth Tana, and you remove that last position of Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda. Okay, now, hopefully at this point in time, you're just a little bit confused, because if you look back at the braisa that we quote in the very top of the Amud, so where are the positions of Rabbi Shimon Gamliel and Rabbi Shmuel ben Osho, Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka? So they were squarely in the camp of Kedusha Achas. And meanwhile, Rav just quoted Dalav Zakenim, who are all in agreement with Rabbi Eliezer, that Shtei Kedushos. And the Gemara now is bothered by that very question. V'ha Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, Rabbi Shmuel ben Osho, Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka, Ibcha Shaminale. We just heard the opposite from them, that it's Kedusha Achas, not that it's Shtei Kedushos. What is going on over here? Answers the Gemara, Epoch. So the Gemara says, okay, so then go back to that Braisa, starting on the bottom of the previous Amud, going to the top of our Amud, and flip around the positions. Meaning, have those Tanaim maintain that it is Shtei Kedushas. So Yahachi Hainu Rebbe. So the Gemara says, okay, so you know where that puts them? That puts them in perfect agreement with Shitas Rebbe. At the beginning of the Braisa, we quoted Shitas Rebbe. And now we have these Tanaim agreeing with Rebbe. And what's bothering us is that the way it's being presented sounds like they're disagreeing with Rebbe. So the Gemara says, Yahachi ayin Rebbe, Eima v'chein, Amar Shimon Gamliel. So the Gemara says, fine, a little bit of editing of the Braisa, we're going to add the word v'chein. So that clearly indicates that they agree with Rebbe. Now, v'lechshav nami Rebbe. Now, we put together, we collated a number of Tanaim who are in agreement with Rebbe Eliezer that Yantav Shabbos is Shtei Kedushos. Now, and through the editing of the Braisa, we now know that Rabbi Shimon Gamliel and Rabbi Shmuel ben Osho, Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka are on board with this position. And you know who else is? Rabbi Yehuda Anasi. And so, and we just saw that in the Braisa. And so when collating the positions, so shouldn't we add Rabbi Yehuda Anasi to the list? So Rabbi Tanila Velo Sevela. So Rabbi taught it as a Braisa. Rabbi himself does not hold of this position. The Gemara says, really, that's interesting. Rabbanan Ami, Tanu La, Velo Savri La. Why don't we say the same thing regarding the Chachamim? Why don't they say that they're espousing a position that they don't necessarily agree with? So the Gemara says, Rav Gemara Gamir La. The Gemara says, yeah, but remember, all this is coming to us via Rav. Rav had traditions. He had Masorah. He knew that Rebbe taught a position, had Tanaitic work that espoused such a position, but he himself doesn't subscribe to that position. On the other hand, Rav also knew that these Tanaim do subscribe to that position. Okay, Adkan. So where do we stand? Rav Paskins, the halacha, that Yontif followed by Shabbos, Shtei Kedushos Hain, even though, despite the fact that the cheat is Rabbi Eliezer, but nevertheless, Rav says that he is passing that way. Dalev Zakenim corroborate that viewpoint. Kinach Nafshe de Rav Huna, Ayel Rav Chisel Lemirma, de Rav Adrav. After the death of Rav Huna, so Rav Chista asked questions. Rav Huna was a Talmud of Rav. Rav Chista also was a Talmud of Rav. Interesting, the relationship that Rav Huna and Rav Chista had. The Gemara describes a number of places throughout Shas. They obviously had tremendous respect for one another, but sometimes the relationship was a little contentious, and you certainly get that sense over here that Rav Chista is waiting for the death of Rav Huna before he challenges. Okay, certainly... It's certainly an observable point. Anyway, but he notes a sira between Rav. Mi amar Rav halacha kedal zakenim valiba de Rabbi Eliezer damar shtei kedushos hein. As we just established, Rav holds that the 2 days back to back are shtei kedushos. On the other hand, vaha itmar Shabbos v'yontov Rav amar no de bezeh asur bezeh. And meanwhile, we go to the beginning of Masechta Beitza, and there, when I have Shabbos and Yontov back to back, so if you have an egg which is no lad bezeh, so then asur bezeh. If it's laid on day one, you cannot eat it on day two. And the Gemara there in the beginning of Beitza discusses extensively the issues of nolad and over here the issue of hachana. Now I gave away the answer, but that's fine. So the Gemara says the Gemara right now assumes that if in fact subscribe to the idea of shtei kedushos, what's the problem? Meaning there are two distinct days, and if the egg was laid on one day, so then you should be able to eat it the next day. It's not going to be an Isser of Nolad. The Isser of Nolad is eating the egg on the day that's laid. But if the back-to-back Shabbos Yontif or Yontif Shabbos is two distinct days and two separate Kedushos, so then it shouldn't be a problem of Nolad. So Amar Rabba Hasa Mishum Achana. So Rabba says, fine. There's no stira between Rav and Rav. The resolution is actually very simple. The resolution is that they are Shtei Kedushos. The reason why, when the egg is laid on Yontif, you can't eat on Shabbos is because it's a violation of Achana. You're preparing for Yontif to Shabbos, and you're not allowed to do that. The time you learned in the Brayso of Ayah b'Yom HaShishi v'Hachinu, and here quoting the Pesukim by the Mun, and the Mun comes down on Friday, and we're preparing from Friday to Shabbos, and the Gemara's Medayik, Chol Mechin l'Shabbos v'Chol Mechin l'Yontif. So when do I prepare for Shabbos? On a weekday. When do I prepare for Yontif? On a weekday. V'ein Yontif Mechin l'Shabbos, v'ein Shabbos Mechin l'Yontif. But I cannot prepare from Shabbos to Yontif. I cannot prepare from Yontif to Shabbos. So, and that's an Isra Daraisa. That is the issue of Hachana. And that explains why Rav's of the position that when the egg is laid on Yontif, you can't eat on Shabbos, because not because it's Kedusha Achas, but rather because it's a violation of Hachana. So, and you're probably wondering, well, if that's true, so then how do we cook from Yontif to Shabbos? When we have Yontif on a Friday, so we set up an Erev Tavshil and we cook from Yontif to Shabbos. And hopefully you're wondering, well, I don't understand. If there's an Isra of Hachana, and Rabbi just explained that it's an Isra d'Oraisa, so how do you cook from Yontif to Shabbos? An Erev Tavshilin cannot just simply dispense with an Isra d'Oraisa. So you can look back at Tosfos here on Lamed Chesam and Aleph, on the bottom Tosfos. So Umash Ofim, right, one line into the Tosfos. So Umash Ofim, Miyamtav Shabbos, Mishum Eruv Tavshilin. So how are you cooking from Yontif to Shabbos? And Erev Tavshilin is allowing it? It's not Erev Tavshilin. So Mefarish Rabba, Beperek Elo Ovrim, Mishum Ho Umeklai Le Orchim. So the Gemara in Pesachim, Daf Mem Vav, says that the reason why you're allowed to cook is because you're not really cooking from Yontif to Shabbos, but there's this possibility that guests are going to be coming on Yontif, and so therefore, because of that principle of Hoel, so therefore, really what you're cooking is from Yontif to Yontif, for Yontif. And if it happens to be that no guests come, so then you can eat it for Shabbos. Okay, it's a concept in and of itself. Not everybody subscribes to this principle of Hoel, but Rabba has to. Meaning, because since Rabba maintains that Achan is an Isra Daraisa, so the only way you're really allowed to cook from Yontif to Shabbos is only predicated on this principle of Hoel. According to Rabba, then why do you need Erev Tavshilin? When we get to the Gemara Pesachim, we're going to be discussing this in much greater detail, and just highlighting that according to Rabbi, you have to give that explanation because he subscribes to this idea of Achana being an Isser Da'araisa. Amar Leh, we're continuing the Gemara, we're halfway down Lamed Chesam Beis. Amar Leh Abaye Elahadet Nan. Let's consider now the following Mishnah. Ketzer Uosem, Olicha Barishon Amachshech Alav, V'Nolo V'Alo, B'Sheni Amachshech Alav, V'Ochlo V'Alo. So, we have a Mishnah. What do you do? Our Mishnah. And according to the Chachamim, how do you set up your Erev for day number two? So what you're going to do is that, well, for day number one, you're going to bring your Erev over there, machshech alav, you're going to spend the Ben HaShemashos over there, vinotlo, you'll take your Erev back. And again, I'll just remind everybody, Rashi says, you didn't go yourself. If you went yourself, you didn't have to bring food. Your shliach went. But anyway, and now he comes back with the food, and then for Shabbos, meaning in preparation for Shabbos, you're going to come now with your Erev, and you're going to sit down over there with your Erev during Ben HaShemashos. And now you've established your Makam Shvisa for day number two. And as a bonus, you get to eat your Erev. So the Gemara says, okay, all this is well and good. We just were introduced to this Isser of Hachana, as introduced to us by Rabbah. Aren't you violating the Isser of Hachana by bringing your Erev over on Yontav to make an Erev Tchum for Shabbos? So the Gemara says, Hakamechim Yontav LeShabbos. So that's a violation, right? So Amalei Rabbah, Misvar, Sofa Yom Kona Erev, Tchilas Yom Kona Erev, V'Shabbos Mechina L'Atzma. So the Gemara says, we're going to go back to a discussion that we had just a couple of days ago. And that is that it's true the Ben HaShemashos period is when you're Kona your Erev. Now, when during the Ben HaShemashos period are you Kona your Erev? So remember, we had the back and forth in the Gemara between Rav and Rav Papa. This takes us back just a couple of days. Okay, more than a couple of days. But this takes us back in terms of when specifically are you Kona your Erev. This takes us back to the top of Lamed Vav Amud Beis. And was it at the beginning of the Ben HaShemashos period or the end of the Ben HaShemashos period? So the Gemara's terminology, you got to read it into the Gemara. So when we say Sof HaYom, so what we mean by there is at the beginning of the Ben HaShemashos. Means Sof HaYom meaning the end of Yontav, the beginning of Ben HaShemashos. That's called Sof HaYom. And the Tchilas HaYom, so that's the end of the Ben HaShemashos period. So what the Gemara now is proposing is that it's not going to be a violation of Hachana. Why not? Because you were of the position that Sof HaYom Kona, that you acquired it at the beginning of Ben HaShemashos. He says that's not true. You're acquiring it at the end of the Ben HaShemashos period, what's called Tchilas HaYom. So when are you setting up your Erev? You're setting it up on Shabbos, meaning during the Ben HaShemashos for Shabbos. So therefore, you're not violating Hachana. So Elam Yata Yarva Belagin. So the Gemara says, okay, well, we then can go back and revisit that Mishnah. Okay, remember that Mishnah we talked about where the Kli was a Tvul Yom Kli, and the Levi had his Meiser Rishon, and then now he had to be Mafresh 10% for Trumas Meiser, and he wanted to put it into the Kli, but the Kli is a Tvul Yom, which means that if the Truma was identified as Truma, so then it's going to pass to the Truma. So what he does is he puts the 10% in the Kli, but in terms of the Chalos making a Trumas Meiser, that's not going to occur until the evening. He'll put a delay in the Chalos, and it won't occur until the evening. And then the Mishnah over there said, and vis-a-vis using it as your Erev Trum, you can't use it as your Erev Trum. And remember, that was the back and forth between Rav and Rav Papa. Rav says, Oso Meretz, that teaches us that Sof HaYom Kona, that the acquisition of the Erev is coming at the beginning of the Ben HaShemashos period. And Rava disputed that point. So Rav Papa disputed that point. Anyway, so if we're now saying that the Erev is going to be Kona for you at the end of the Ben HaShemashos period, so haven't we just rendered that discussion totally a pointless discussion? Because we just concluded that the Erev is Kona for you at the end of the Ben HaShemashos period. So then you can use your Tvul Yom, Kaylee, like the Gemara proposed earlier. So and meanwhile, the Mishnah says you can't. So the Gemara says, yeah, that doesn't bother me. So the Gemara says, Ela Hadnan. Ela Miata Yarvu Belagin. So Be'in and Suda Ruyim Ibod Yom Valeka. So the Gemara says, yeah, you know why it's not going to work over there? Because of a principle that we invoked a couple days ago. And that is the idea of Su'uda Haru'uyalo. In order for an Erev to work, so the Erev, obviously you're Kona it during the Ben HaShemashos period, but there's another requirement, which is that the food has to be edible before Yontav, or before Shabbos, before you, in other words, Miba Oyom, before the day in which you're going to be setting up your Erev Trum. It has to be a Su'uda Ru'uya, a separate issue, a separate consideration. And over here, it's true that the Erev doesn't actually kick in until the end of the Ben HaShemashos period, but still, there is this other requirement of Su'uda Ru'uya. And that's why the Erev is simply not going to work in this context. Okay. We're going to stop over here. We're going to pause over here. We still have a little bit more to go in terms of the sugya, but the sugya does continue on. So let's recap, let's review. Okay, we finished off yesterday's daf regarding Breira. And what we did is that we went over the sheet of Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon subscribes to Breira, does not subscribe to Breira, and the answer is there's no easy answer. It's a machlokas amoraim where he stands on the issue of Breira. Rav Yosef says Rabbi Shimon does not subscribe to Breira, and as far as another Breisa that sounds like he does subscribe to Breira, so Rabbi Yosef just flipped around that Breisa, and Rabbi Shimon does not hold a Breira, period. And then the other amoraim, it's Rava, and the truth of the matter is the Gemara doesn't give name to the other position, but we could certainly say Rava. Rava says no, Rabbi Shimon really does hold a Breira. And as far as the case of the wine of the Kusi, where clearly he seems to reject Breira, so the Gemara says not necessarily. There are two points over there that could be counter considerations. One is that maybe Rabbi Shimon holds a Breira, but the reason why it doesn't work over there in the case of wine is because you need shiareha nikarim. When you are mafri trumos amaisos, the part that the remainder has to be evident at that point in time. And here, when you're drinking 80% of the wine, leaving 20% over as trumos amaisos, so it's a failure of shiareha nikarim. That's one possibility. The other possibility is that really Rabbi Shimon holds a breira. He's worried that the jug is going to break, and that's why he will not allow you to drink 80%, leaving the 20% over at the end. Okay, and so that means that Rabbi Shimon does hold the Breira. And Adkan, that takes us to the end of yesterday's daf. And then what we did this morning is we went through a classic debate amongst the Tanayim in terms of when I have Yontov and Shabbos back to back, do I view it as Kedusha Achar Shtei Kedushos? Nafka Mina would be for Erev Tchum. Can I set up one Erev Tchum from the beginning and have that go through all the way to the end of the 48 hours? Or can I set up two different Erevin? Or there's a third option, which is Suffolk, we don't know. And so therefore, when you go into that second day, the only thing you're allowed to do is just simply reset your Eruv that you set up for the first day. Where do we stand on this? In the Mishnah, Machlok is between Rabbi Elazar and the Chachamim. Rabbi Elazar clearly is of the position Shtei Kedushos. The Chachamim is Mesupak. On the Amud Aleph, the back and forth between Rabbi Elazar and the Chachamim. On the Amud Beis, so we first saw Psak of Rav. Rav says, Allah is like Rabbi Elazar, that it is Shtei Kedushos. Rav Huna challenged, and the reason why is because there are four other Tanaim who corroborate that position. Then we went the back and forth between Rav Huna and Rav Chista. It sounds like Rav says there's Shtei Kedushos. Doesn't sound like that way. He does hold that way. On the other hand, consider the fact that Rav also says that if an egg is laid on one day, you cannot eat it the second day. Sounds like it's Kedusha Achas because it's an Isser of Nolad. The Gemara says, no, there it's an issue of Hachana. And that got us going in the discussion of Hachana. Now that we know that according to Rabbah, Min HaTorah, you cannot prepare from Yontif to Shabbos, it's an Issa D'Oraisa based on the Psukim that we went through in Parshas B'Shalach. So then the Gemara had a lot of follow-up questions. One question which the Gemara didn't ask here, the Gemara asked some Psukim is, how can I cook from Yontif to Shabbos using an Erev Tavshilin? Erev Tavshilin is not going to, does not cancel the Isser of Hachana. So, okay, so there you have to invoke the principle of Hawal, which the Gemara in Pesachim does, according to Rabbah. That's one question. Another question, which the Gemara itself asks, is how can you set up your Erev on Yontiv for Shabbos? That's Hachana. And then the technical answer is the technical answer of, well, you're assuming that the Erev is going to be taking in effect at the beginning of the Ben HaShemashos period. That's not correct. The Erev takes effect at the end of the Bein HaShemashos period, so you're not preparing from Yom Tov to Shabbos, you're preparing from Shabbos to Shabbos. That kind of takes us to the end of where we got to this morning. We continue tomorrow.